time that you've given us to get in your word. And God, thank you for just who you are and what you mean to us, Father, especially during this time of year. And I pray your blessing again on our study, Exodus 17, verses 8 to 16. Go before us in Jesus' name. Amen. So let me set this up, the story. Moses had just struck the rock, and water came out of the rock for the people to drink because they were complaining. They were in the desert with no water. Now, it typified Jesus being smitten by God's justice, resulting in, of course, the gift of the Holy Spirit being given to each one of us as believers. But after the Holy Spirit comes to live in us, a new nature, a holy nature, takes a hold of us, and a conflict begins. Galatians 5, verses 16 and 17. So, believers think when a sinner receives Christ as their Savior, God changes their heart. And from then on, they'll have victory over sin. But here's what literally takes place. The old is set aside, and something new is created or given by God. This is the way it is with you and I as born-again believers. 2 Corinthians 5:17. You see, when a person becomes born again, the new birth doesn't remove anything from them. It doesn't change anything within them. At the new birth, a spiritual divine nature is given to us. This new nature is created by the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter 1, verse 23. It explains Jesus telling Nicodemus in that great meeting with Nick at night in John chapter 3, verse 5. Most surely I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, water is symbolic of what? God's word. Ephesians 5, verse 25, 26. When God gives us this new nature, the moment we became a born-again believer, the old sinful nature stays there. And it's going to be there until either death or the coming of Christ for his church at the rapture. That's when it will finally, sin will finally be destroyed. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 to 54. So we have two natures within us as Christians. One sinful, the other sinless. One born of the flesh, the other born of God. These two natures differ from each other in origin, in character, and in the activities they produce. I mean, there's nothing in common between the two. They're totally opposed to each other. That's why it's called a conflict. I got a couple good illustrations of this conflict with these two natures. The first one is seen in Abraham's two sons, Ishmael and Isaac. Ishmael represents born of the flesh because he was born from Hagar. Isaac represents born of the Spirit. Ishmael was born according to the common order of nature. Isaac was born of a miracle. It's when God supernaturally quickened Abraham and Sarah's bodies when they were past the age of having children. We know Abraham was 100 years old. Sarah was somewhere around 90 years old. So according to Galatians chapter 4, verse 22, Ishmael was born first of a bondwoman. It speaks of you and me being born from our mother, the natural flesh. Isaac, then, of the free woman, Sarah. It speaks of our born-again experience. But after Isaac was brought into Abraham's house, there was a conflict. Genesis 21, verses 9 to 10. Paul wrote about that in Galatians 4, 29. He said, but as he who was born according to the flesh, then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. Jacob had two names, One he received from his earthly parents. Jacob means heel catcher, liar, thief, conniver. You kind of get the picture. The other he got from God. In Genesis 32, verse 28, the Lord called him Israel. Israel means governed by God. At one moment, he's trusting God with full confidence as Israel. At another, he's given into an evil heart of unbelief as Jacob. In the scriptures, when Jacob is referred to, he's operating in the old nature. When Israel is mentioned, he's operating in the new nature. Next time you read through Genesis, whenever you see Jacob, he's in the flesh. Whenever you see Israel, he's being governed by God. Just as Ishmael persecuted Isaac, and just as Jacob's nature set aside Israel's nature, so it is with you and I as Christians. So the question comes up, is there any way the flesh can be overcome? Has God made any provision for us to walk in the Spirit so we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh? Well, here's the great news. God indeed has. But if we're not having victory, it's because our failure to use the means God has given to us, the Holy Spirit. In verse 8 of Exodus chapter 17, it says, "Now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, 'Choose us some men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand.' So Joshua did as Moses said to him, and he fought with Amalek. Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Write this for a memorial in a book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven.' And Moses built an altar and called its name, 'The Lord is my banner.' For he said, 'Because the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation.'" Now, in light of Genesis 21, chapter 26, Exodus 2, Numbers 20, and Judges 5, we learn possessing water often meant contention among the people. It's evident the news of a river of water gushing from that rock in Rephidim caused the Amalekites to try and get possession of it. Amalek means warlike. 1 Peter 2, verses 11 to 12. Here's what's amazing. I'm going to give you a little background on Amalek. According to Genesis 36, 12, Amalek was a grandson of Esau. Remember Esau and Jacob, the twins? It was Esau who, for one morsel of food, sold his birthright. And when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, which represents the old man, the old nature. Moses spoke of Amalek's character in Deuteronomy 25, the fifth book from Genesis, the Pentateuch, the five books of Moses. As Moses was preparing to leave this earth, he said in Deuteronomy 25, verses 17 to 18, "Remember what Amalek did to you on the way as you were coming out of Egypt." Egypt represents the world. Amalek is a symbol for sin, for the flesh. how he met you on the way and attacked your rear ranks. All the stragglers at your rear when you were tired and weary, and he did not fear God. You see, this is where believers lose it. We need to understand the moment we've been made partakers of God's nature, this inward conflict begins. Before the new birth, we were dead in trespasses and sins, meaning we were insensible to the claims of God's holiness. But when the Holy Spirit sheds light on our wicked hearts, we realize the depths and the power of the evil that lies within us. Those who aren't saved are under the dominion of the flesh. They serve its lust and they do its will. The flesh doesn't fight its subjects. It rules over them. As soon as you receive this new nature, the conflict begins. I mean, it's on. Something else we see. Israel didn't attack Amalek. Amalek attacked Israel. The flesh and the spirit. Here's the principle, and I want to be very clear with this. A non-believer will always pull a believer down to their level. Always. Unless you're absolutely certain God has called you to minister to that unbeliever and that God has equipped you to do it. You need the discernment there. The first thing we see is Israel's success against Amalek was determined by what? Moses' hands being lifted up. Think about that moment. Hands being lifted up was an emblem of prayer. Psalm 28:2, 1 Timothy 2:8. Second, Moses' hands became heavy. How soon we grow weary of seeking the Lord when things get heavy. In Luke 18, verse 1, Jesus spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. The problem is we fail because our hearts quickly get heavy. But as soon as we lose our dependency on God, that's when the flesh takes over. Galatians 6:9. Third, Moses wasn't left to himself. He had Aaron and Hur with him. They held up his hands, standing one on each side of him. Think about this. Aaron was the head of Israel's priesthood, speaking of our great high priest, Jesus Christ. Hur, his name means light. It's an emblem of holiness that points to the Holy Spirit. Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Fourth, sword points to the scriptures. Hebrews 4:12, 1 Corinthians 9:26, 27. The sword of the Spirit. Amalek wasn't completely destroyed in this war that Joshua fought. This is what's sad about our flesh. There is no way of destroying or eradicating the evil nature within us. I don't care how hard you try, you're not going to get rid of it. Even though we can come against it, it still survives. So why does God allow this evil nature to remain in us? You ready for this? So we might have a deeper and more personal realization of the terribleness that sin has brought in mankind. And to appreciate the grace God has given to us that literally saves us from hell. It's so we may be humbled before God and made more dependent on Him. It's so we may have to ourselves God's all-sufficient grace and learn His strength is made perfect in our weakness. It's so we appreciate God's keeping power. God is sustaining us. Because left to ourselves, we're dead meat. We'd perish. When Israel was tired and weary, Amalek ambushed them. It's when we let our guard down, we end up falling. But there is a remedy against growing weary. You ready for this? Isaiah 40, verse 30 and 31. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. There it is. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Here God had promised that he would utterly wipe Amalek out. When you get to 1 Samuel chapter 15, God gave the first king of Israel, a guy named Saul, an opportunity to accomplish this mission. What happened? Saul rebelled against God's command to completely wipe them out, and he spared some of them. Here's where it gets bad. God knew if Amalek was allowed to live, the people of Amalek, he knew what they would do in the future. God knew their character. God knew their potential that they had to destroy, as we see here. Now, some might think, and I get this a lot, why the radical command to completely wipe the Amalekites out? I mean, the men, the women, even the babies, wipe them all out, all the Amalekites. Why? Well, the answer is found in the book of Esther with a man named Haman. Haman was an Amalekite. He tried to exterminate the entire Jewish race. I mean, he would have succeeded if God had not intervened. That's why God wanted them completely wiped out. He knew this would happen. You see, when we get God's perspective on a matter, we then understand his action and what he's doing. D.L. Moody once said, "If it never troubles a man's conscience to spend a great deal of his time in questionable places of amusement and to take his family into places where there are degraded people, if he drives like Jehu all the week to make a dollar and moves like a snail on Sunday towards spiritual things, I believe that man is following the flesh. The divine nature is not in him. He is not walking after the spirit, but after the flesh." I mean, it might seem extreme to have an entire race of people wiped out, but it's called sowing and reaping. Galatians 6, verses 7 to 8. One day soon, God is going to deliver us from this flesh. And you know what? We will never, ever, ever have to fight it again. But until then, we get our strength for battle by prayer and from studying God's word. One of my many favorite scriptures, Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." This is how we overcome the flesh. This is how we let the Spirit move and go before us. Father, we come before you and we thank you for your word. We thank you for the things you continue to reveal to us and in through it, Lord. Father, I pray your blessing on all those who are listening to this teaching, that they would understand the battle of the flesh and the spirit, as we see the battle of natures in the Old Testament that were symbolic of what was going to come, when mankind would become born again and be filled with your spirit, God. The conflict that lies within us. Father, go before us now. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.